sobbing along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on your radio dial. You can tune us in on the Internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got Internet access. Now, the best way to pick up the stream, go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again. That will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. And, boy, it's kind of a high cloudy day. Wind going on. No blue sky that I can see right at the moment, but with blue racing stripes down his arms. Across the table from me, that would be Animal World's production engineer, Gary Hill, is here. Good morning, Gary.
Hello.
You get them blue stripes taken over for the blue sky.
Yeah, huh? Well, if we're not going to get a blue sky, you know, I got to do what I can.
Yeah, so you're looking good today.
Thanks.
How are you doing at home?
Good. Everything's good.
And Little Miss Finley?
Yeah, she's wonderful.
Yeah, and speaking of Little Miss Finley, we have new photographs, recent photographs of her up on the website now. For y'all to look at if you haven't checked out the photographs of Gary and his precious girl. She's pushing a year now, isn't she?
Yeah, close? On the 25th of this month.
This month.
June.
Yeah.
I know, it's hard to believe.
All right, and if you want to see the pictures of Finley, go to the Animal World website, marthanorwalk.com. Click on Current Events. And I think below Dan's pictures in the top, there's a little link that says photograph, something about Gary's photographs. And anyway, she's there, so check it out. Very cute.
Yeah,
cute little picture. She's got a little hat on it.
Yeah, I know, a little sun hat.
Yeah, yeah,
it was one of the nice days that we had.
Yeah. Yeah. And and how's the sleeping going?
It's been better.
Oh,
last
good.
Night wasn't, but in general it's been pretty good.
That's why your eyes are sort of at half mast this morning.
She was not interested in sleeping last night. She was more interested in playing. So
yeah, that happens sometimes.
It does. Yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of playing, I don't know what
I've
that has
been
to
been good.
Oh, so see, that would be Animal World's co-producer, call screener Sandy Gaston is here. Good morning.
Good
Sandy.
Morning. Good morning. And those pictures, she's gotten so big, Gary. Woo!
Yeah, I know.
So you were able to find them.
Yeah.
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 Isn't she cute?
Oh, she's so cute. In fact, I think she's getting cuter than when
so
she
too.
Was a little baby.
Yeah.
You know, she's just, you can start to see that Finley personality coming out. And, you know, she's darling. She's absolutely darling.
And how's she doing in the moving around department?
Oh, she's all over the place.
Yeah, crawling.
Crawling up. Everywhere, pulling up, yeah. Getting into everything she can possibly get in.
Standing yet?
Not on her. No, not on her.
Just to lean on something.
Yeah, she'll have an instant where she's balancing on her own, but then flops right back down. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Wait till she starts walking.
I know.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
Yeah. Then you're gonna be getting your exercise.
You know, already chasing around everywhere as is.
No, just wait till she starts dating. That's when you're going to get your exercise. Every time I see there's a commercial on TV, Martha, I don't know if you've seen it, where this fella, he looks like probably, you know, 30s. He's on probably Lover's Lane, and he's going around all to these windows knocking.
Oh, yeah, it's a telephone commercial.
And every time I see that commercial, I think of Gary,
because
I can see Gary doing that. Finley, are you in there, Finley?
That's funny.
Oh, it's reminded me that's a country western song about the dad singing about he's greeting the his daughter's date, and the song's all about cleaning this gun. You know, he's cleaning the gun the whole time kind of interviewing the daughter's date. It's kind of nice. So I somehow don't see Gary doing that.
No. She's become a big fan of dogs, though.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's one of her, it's a word she uses all the time.
Dog. All right. Inheriting your connection to the animal world.
Yeah, there's one, our neighbors have a dog that sits out in the grass, and she just loves to just stare at it.
It's
really cute.
Very cute.
Yeah.
Well, you'll have to let us know when you're ready for your first animal, and we'll coach you.
Okay. That may be a ways off.
I'll just bring mine to visit, but make sure she's really good and dirty, because then they'll sniff her and lick her up.
Oh, there, good, yeah.
Yeah, and then she'll really know what dogs are about.
Yeah, I know.
She gets some Basset drool on her lips.
All right, that's enough. All right, it is, do you believe it? It is the 1st of June today. Whoa.
It's not. It really isn't.
It's just time is going so fast. It's unbelievable. It's the 1st of June. It's even more unbelievable when you look out the window. It's a little on the chilly side, but at least it's dry.
Yeah, at some point, I'm going to actually ditch my North Face jacket for the summer. I'm just wondering when that point is. Because I wore it in today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hopefully sometime this month I can put it away for good.
I know, and I'm not believing the weather people, because that yesterday was supposed to be 70 and beautiful.
Right, and it was raining.
Yeah, and it just poured. It just poured.
Yep, I hear you on that one. They've not been accurate for a long time, as far as I can tell. They give it their best shot every day, but oh well. All right, and speaking of the 1st of June, that means it is the first Sunday of the month. And that means Vet Sunday. It's Dr. Al Pluckner today, author of Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic, and the Human Compendium of Articles on the Same Subject. Dr. Al will join us after the bottom of the hour, and we, of course, will be talking about the endocrine immune imbalance that he has discovered that applies to dogs, cats, horses, and humans, and treating that. We'll have open phone lines, so that he can take your calls and answer your animal and human medical care questions. And, of course, we will be giving away copies of his book, Pets at Risk. So you just need to call in to take advantage of that. And let's see, about 10:50 today, as usual, we'll have current events. And 11 o'clock, a new tip. Our June tip of the month is all about, speaking that June has started, that means 4th of July is not that far away, a little over a month away, and that means it's time to get your animal friends prepared for fear of loud noises, firecrackers, all that kind of stuff. And if you have, especially dog friends that are afraid of loud noises, then you want to be sure that you listen to this tip so that you know how to start building your jolly routines, so you'll be ready for all of this when the 4th of July rolls around. And, of course, we're going to start with some animals in the news, follow-up, all that good stuff. So let's dive into the pile. For the first time in a long time, there just isn't as much news, animals in the news. Usually, you know, I've got a huge stack. Don't have that large stack. Well, let's see. We'll start in the follow-up department. Last week, I did report to you about the settlement for the pet food recall, $24 million settlement. It seemed that was pretty locked up when we talked about it, but apparently it wasn't. But now it is. It is official. A federal judge in Camden, New Jersey, on Friday apparently approved the $24 million settlement for thousands of owners whose animals were sickened by the tainted pet food. And there is compensation even for those who can't document the expenses. So if your animal was one that was harmed in that recall, you better check that out. Oh, been talking about this, the shark attacks that have been going on down off the coast of Mexico. Interesting article. Let's see, Seattle PI. Three shark attacks in Mexico scare and alarm resorts. And let's see, no one could even remember a shark attack along this resort-studded stretch of Mexican coast popular with surfers and Hollywood's elite. Many of the large predators had been pulled from the ocean by fishermen. So when sharks attacked three surfers in less than a month, two fatally, it was unthinkable. The last one was just last Saturday and was an injury, not a fatality. But this is kind of concerning about what's going on down there. Let's see, before that, shark attacks were unheard of in that area. University of Florida expert George Burgess was in the area Wednesday interviewing witnesses, going over autopsy reports, and checking out beaches to find out why the sharks had suddenly become so aggressive. This is what concerns me. After the first fatality, panicked officials strung lines of baited hooks offshore and slaughtered dozens of sharks, drawing international criticism. Authorities plan to meet Thursday to seek Burgess's advice. But, you know, we're already reporting from time to time about the dangers that sharks face in terms of, you know, the cruelties that they're submitted to and being captured and have their fins cut off for, you know, shark fin soup, and then just yep. they're thrown back alive into the water without fins. But, and now this huge slaughter. So anyway, let's see, the last closing of this particular article, Mexican experts are planning a catch-and-release study to determine the species of shark that has been attacking. I'm not quite sure how that's going to tell them who was responsible for these three attacks. And maritime officials stung by the backlash over the shark hunt have switched to sea and aerial patrols to watch for sharks near shore. So apparently there was enough of an outrage over the massive shark extermination that they've stopped doing that, thank goodness. And now they're just patrolling and looking for sharks. But it just disturbs me. Okay, here's another one. I put it in follow-up because we've been talking about this for some time. This is out of Seattle PI, if you want to pull up the whole article. Neglect of horses is on the rise. Often owners can't afford proper care or lack the knowledge. And this is specifically related to what's going on in our state and in Clark County specifically. The rising hay and grain prices and dwindling opportunities to sell horses are fueling neglect cases nationwide, but especially around here. And that the lack of opportunities to sell horses relates to the closing of the slaughterhouses, because so many people, when they couldn't afford their horses, didn't want them anymore, they could sell them off for slaughter. Well, now that option is not available. And unfortunately, you know, all of the rescue groups pushed this legislation through without really thinking about what was going to happen and with a plan in place to deal with all the unwanted horses. It says Clark County is on track for a record-breaking year of equine neglect. Quote, we've seen a 300% increase in calls. That's a Clark County Animal Control Manager speaking. And in 2007, they received 102 calls about horse neglect. The first 3 months of this year produced 79 calls, and that compares with 25 from the same period last year. A lot more in this article if you want to pull it up and read the details. Again, Seattle PI, neglect of horses on the rise. Oh, now here, I talked about this sad news last week, the untimely accidental death in the plane crash of Stephen Claussen, the fellow who worked with Keiko, the Free Willy Whale, and helped in that process. There's just a wonderful tribute and obituary written to him this week, and it actually just was in yesterday's Seattle Times. So search it if you didn't know who he is. Stephen Claussen, Claussen, animal lover, found life so much fun. It's just a delightful article to read about him and his love for life and the animals, and it just made me really sorry that we hadn't crossed paths and I didn't have a chance to meet him and we didn't have a chance to interview him here on the show. But there you go. Check it out if you like. All right. I usually put the photographs in the good news department, but I couldn't put this one in the good news department. I do have some good ones, some in the good news department, but The photograph is so unusual that you might want to take a peek. It's in Seattle Times. You want to look it up online, and the title is "Don't Blink." Austin Clow of Melba, Idaho, tries to wrestle a steer to the ground during the Idaho District 2 High School Rodeo on Sunday at the Caldwell Night Rodeo Grounds in Caldwell. That's why I couldn't put this in good news, because I can't in good faith support rodeos. But Clow was awarded a, quote, no time, meaning the steer outfought the cowboy within the time limit. So I'm saying, go for it, steer. But look, it says don't blink. Look at the photograph somebody got of this guy wrestling the steer. Is that amazing? Look at that cow's eye.
That
isn't that
is
amazing?
A remarkable picture.
Yeah, so I had to share the photograph with you.
They are staring at each other.
Uh-huh.
Eye to eye. Look
Can
at
you
that.
See that,
yeah,
Sandy?
Wow.
Is that amazing?
Wow.
Yeah. Yes,
this
I thought you'd all want to see it, but.
I love that.
Yeah. It's like the cow's not going down for nothing.
No, no.
But, you know, that don't blink is, yeah, it's just a great caption.
That is a great
So
picture.
Pull it up, Seattle Times, search don't blink, and I think, or rodeo cattle something, you'll come up with it. It really is an interesting photo. Okay, let's take care of our advertisers and sponsors, the most important part of the show, because without them, there's no us. So pay attention, and we will come back and finish up news and the best good news about animals, and then we'll get on with Vet Sunday. So stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend, and Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. And man, they have got a ton of specials and sales going on right now. And let's see, starting with a great deal on Avoderm puppy food. You buy a 4.5-pound bag for $7.99 and you get another one free. So buy one, get one. Canidae 40-pound All Life Stages Maintenance Foods is on sale for $38.99. And All Natural Balance Dog Foods, 25 pounds or larger, are $6 off. So worth a trip to Jones & Company. You'll find them on State Street in Marysville. Give them a call at 360-658-7817. That's 360-658-7817. At Jones & Company Pets, their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
Are you tired of using a clay litter with all those chemicals and dust clouds? Then try Sweet Scoop all-natural weed litter. Sweet Scoop is clay, chemical, and dust-free. Sweet Scoop is a clumpable litter and eliminates the odor from its natural enzymes. Sweet Scoop is biodegradable, safe for the cat, home, and environment. Recommended by holistic veterinarians for asthma and allergy problems in cats. Look for Sweet Scoop and the new Multi-Cat Sweet Scoop at a local pet store and natural food store near you. Sweet Scoop, saving the earth one poop at a time.
Some people know a good thing when they hear it. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey, y'all, Martha Norwalk, and we're just getting rolling on this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. It's Vet Sunday with Dr. Al Pluckner, author of Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic, and he will join us after the bottom of the hour. Right now, I'm finishing up Animals in the News. All right, this made both papers, and thought you might be interested in learning more about the sea squirts. It made both papers. I've got the Seattle PI version because it's got a photograph of these things. If you'd wondered what they are, state hires divers to clear sea squirts from area arenas. Sea squirts or tunicates, like this one at the Des Moines Marina, blanket out and suffocate native sea life such as clams, mussels, and oysters. Now, they're a squishy yellow creature, and they've begun coating the bottoms of piers and harbor pilings over the last 4 years. They're an invasive slime ball. And they're from the coast of Asia and a big nuisance for boaters and local biologists. And they apparently, you know, came, you know, the hitched rides to our area, but now have kind of taken over. And so now, this week, there is an effort in saltwater marinas in Washington in hopes of preventing more damage to the state's multi-million dollar shellfish industry. They're out there scraping these things off and disposing of them. And I had an idea of what a sea squirt might look like, but this photograph, they're not what I imagined they look like. They almost look like bottles. You see that, Gary?
Yeah, you're right.
And then, doesn't it almost look like a glass bottle with a yellow rim on that? Can you see that, Sandy?
Yeah, I've actually held one.
You have?
And they actually squirt right out like if you don't even have to squeeze them. It was in the water, and I reached down and picked it up, and I was like, what the heck is this thing? And it went,
oh,
and it's like a little siphon of water flew up towards my face, scared the crap out of me.
Well, and apparently they are, though, no laughing matter, because they are invasive and they suffocate our shellfish, which are important to all of us. So here we go. Oh, here's another disturbing. So I'll let you all make up your own mind on this one. This, again, was it made both papers, so you can search Times or PI, and you'll find this article. Monkeys' thoughts move mechanical arm. Two monkeys with tiny sensors in their brains have learned to control a mechanical arm with just their thoughts, using it to reach for and grab food and even to adjust for the size and stickiness of morsels when necessary, scientists reported Wednesday. The report, released online by the journal Nature, is the most striking demonstration to date of brain-machine interface technology. Scientists expect that technology will eventually allow people with spinal cord injuries and other paralyzing conditions to gain more control over their lives. So, I mean, that's the positive side of this, is that this truly may help spinal cord injury victims, but you got to question what happened, you know, how it's working for these monkeys.
Well, they already do this.
Yeah.
They already put artificial arms on humans that are controlled with thought. So why did they have to do this more to monkeys?
That's why it's disturbing to me.
It's very disturbing.
Yeah. And so if you want the rest of the details, look it up online. Oh, and I guess this is just a caution for anybody that's out there riding the highways. This is out of Wenatchee. A man broke, listen to this, 6 ribs, an arm, a wrist, and a collarbone when he was thrown from his motorcycle onto the road after hitting a deer on Highway 2. The crash occurred east of Wenatchee last Saturday, and the State Patrol says 64-year-old guy from Duval also suffered a collapsed lung. And now he's okay. He was in stable condition, and apparently the passenger riding with him was not seriously injured. But, you know, if you're out driving around, especially on a motorcycle or even in a car, you know, on the highways these days, you got to pay attention for the deer crossings and so forth. And because that can be devastating. Let's see here. Israel has chosen, this is the hoopoe as its national bird. They actually got a big campaign going and got more than 150,000 Israelis to cast ballots for one of 10 native species to be their national bird, because they're trying to get everybody motivated to protect the birds. So that's a good thing. And, all right. Are we ready for the best good news about animals? How about we do that? Like to be. Yeah, I actually got some yard work done this week because the sun was out. Nice. I hope it comes out again. All right. Let's see, we're going to start out the best good news about animals. I told you I had some photographs. This one, I don't know if it's good news or not, but it just looked like a neat thing, and I had no idea this happened. And this is out of Seattle Times. The title, Cattle Are in the Driver's Seat, and it's a photograph of Home Acres Road becomes a cow path during the Island Farms semi-annual cattle drive between pastures on Ebbe Island east of Everett. The drive covers about a quarter of a mile and involves 150 to 200 head of cattle. So apparently this happens twice a year. It's a wonderful picture. It really kind of takes you back to olden times. All these cows running, walking down the road, and all these people walking with them. And there's...
Well, hopefully no one has any place to go.
Well, that's what I was thinking. But it could be kind of fun to go walk with the cows.
Yeah.
And move them from one place to another.
Look at that.
Yeah, yeah. So that's kind of a cute photo. Now, here's a really sweet one. And you can look it up, Seattle Times. And it says, yes, we have no chihuahuas. A female monkey cradles a puppy in Jumu, India on Friday. The monkey supposedly lost her baby and has adopted the dog, according to locals. But look at this little monkey cradling this little puppy.
Isn't that
cute? That's very sweet, yeah. I don't know how happy the puppy is because it's kind of hanging upside down and backwards, but the monkey is definitely cradling the baby. So that's a cutie. All right, now, hopefully this will lead to some good news. Conservation group wants seals protected. You'll find all the details in the Seattle Times, but the basics are out of Anchorage, fresh off a successful campaign to list polar bears as a threatened species. A conservation group Wednesday petitioned to provide Endangered Species Act protections to the bear's main prey because of global warming. The Center for Biological Diversity petitioned the National Marine Fisheries Service to list ringed seals and two other species, spotted and bearded seals, as threatened or endangered. All three seals live in the Bering, Chukchi, and Beaufort Seas off Alaska's coast and depend on sea ice that is receding rapidly, according to the petition. So, if they can get the seals listed, then the powers that be will be forced to look at protecting those bodies of water rather than selling more drilling leases. We'll hope for the best on that. All right. This is a kind of a nice story. All the details you'll find in the PI. Tribe buys up land to restore ancestral prairies. This is out of Prior Lake, Minnesota. A 30-acre field where corn and soybeans were once grown is now covered with Canada wild rye, big bluestem, golden Alexander, and compass plant, the same grasses and flowers the pioneers saw as they pushed westward across the American prairie in the 1800s. This patch of prairie next to a condominium complex in suburban Minneapolis didn't suddenly appear on its own. Instead, it was painstakingly restored at great cost by the local Sioux tribe. Flush with cash from their nearby casino, the tribe has bought up about 125 acres of farmland and wetlands just outside the big city over the past few years and has returned them to the way they looked before the white man herded the Indians on to reservations. By the end of the year, this tribe hopes to begin restoring 450 more acres near the Twin Lakes area. And that it says how this relates is now they're seeing the meadowlarks, grasshopper sparrows are returning. They wouldn't if it was a farm field. But now they're seeing wild turkeys, pheasants, deers. We're seeing more of all of them. So by restoring the natural habitat, they're getting all the birds and animals to come back. I thought that was very neat.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we'll see more of that. Okay, let's see. Good news here. This is beavers will soon be living in lakes and streams of Scotland for the first time since before Mary, Queen of Scots, was executed in 1587. The beaver was hunted to extinction across Scotland in the 16th century, and the government is planning to capture about 4 beaver families in Norway, and then they'll release them into the lochs in a wildlife reserve. When the animals are released next spring, it will mark the first time that native mammals have been reintroduced into the wild anywhere in Britain. Scottish National Heritage says it will closely monitor the beavers over the following 5 years to determine their impact on the local environment and economy before any decision is made on a wider reintroduction. That sounds like they're doing this reintroduction wisely, when one area only, going to monitor it for at least 5 years before they bring beavers back everywhere. Because we all know, kind of, you know, we've discussed, and we will, you know, with Dr. Al about the wolves and the reintroduction here, and we would hope to avoid the same kind of problems occurring, that they find out what's going to happen first. All right, the runner-up in the best good news about animals, and it's really about trees, but that, of course, is going to help our animals. And it's just, if you want to pull this up, Seattle Times, Wednesday the 28th, how to get free trees for your neighborhood. I don't know if you guys know about this, but in the Seattle area now, you can apply and get free trees, which, of course, we know how important that is to restore our tree canopy for the CO2 business. And let's see, if you're eligible if groups of 5 or more households on residential streets with planting strips can apply for 10 to 40 trees. The requirements are the trees are to be planted on residential streets with sidewalks and curbs, not in private yards. And groups receiving them must attend a training session on planting and maintaining the trees. If you want to apply, you contact the Seattle Department of Neighborhoods. You can also, there's the seattle.gov website. You can go through that. But the Seattle Department of Neighborhoods can be reached at 206-684-0464. That's 206-684-0464. The deadline for applications for groups in the neighborhood is August 15th, and the trees will be delivered in October or November. So get your neighborhood neighbors together.
Nice.
Isn't that cool? Get your neighbors together and get some trees. How cool is that?
I love that.
I put my own trees in on my parking strip in the last couple of years, because our block used to have trees all through the parking strip, but as they've died off over the years, people have either taken them out or haven't replaced them. So I put my own in.
I like that.
I did that after watching Inconvenient Truth. That was one of the things I could do is put in some trees. All right, the winner of the best good news about animals. This is a local story. And it actually could have gone in follow-up, too, because remember we talked about, reported on the possible coming extinction of the Tasmanian devils last week? Well, listen to this. This is all about a little girl. You can relate to this. It's a Mercer Island story. And girl's essay about her secret place earns her spot on Expedition. From her water park to Australia.
I read that in the paper. Yeah.
National Geographic is known for exploring the wildest spots on the globe, yet Savannah Reed earned a place on one of its expeditions by writing about a sliver of an urban park near her Mercer Island home. And once again, this is out of the Seattle PI on Thursday. If you want to look it up for the details, there's a nice picture of Savannah in the park. And this is what's so wonderful. Thanks to sharing her thoughts about the park, Reed now gets a chance to swim in the Great Barrier Reef, though she seems as excited about the days she will spend protecting the Tasmanian devil. Only last week, the Australian government officially declared the carnivorous marsupial endangered because the species is beset with debilitating facial tumors and loss of habitat. To help, the U.S. winners are teaming up with 23 Tasmanian grade school students to raise money. Once the students meet on the southern Australian island of 485,000 residents, they will plant trees and build habitat for endangered animals. Reed is ready for the adventure. Quote, "You only live once and you might as well go for it," she says. So congratulations to our local Savannah Reed and her winning and going over there and helping Tasmanian devils. Oh, that's very cool.
That's excellent.
So there
that's
you go. Yep. That concludes the best good news about animals. and woohoo. Yeah, it looks like it's getting darker to me, Gary. We better play that a lot.
I don't think it's helping.
No, I don't think so either. All right, we are going to take a quick time out here and take care of advertisers and sponsors, and then we will be back and begin Vet Sunday with Dr. Al. Stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, if you've got dogs and cats, you need to know about my friends out at the Academy of Canine Behavior and their fabulous cattery. They're in Bothell. Now, they've got the best doggy daycare center I've ever seen, and they are conveniently located just a spit off of 405, just north of the 522 interchange. So if you travel that North 405 corridor during, you know, to and from work, easy to drop off the freeway on your way to work. Drop your dog at daycare at the academy, pick him up on the way home, and gee, when you get home, you can just kick back. All you gotta do is feed your dog. He's all exercised, worn out from playing at daycare all day. They also do free behavior evaluations, so check them out. The Academy of Canine Behavior in Bothell. Give them a call at 425-486-9567 or visit them online, www.aocb.com, and tell them Martha Norwalk sent you.
Every Monday night from 8 to 9 p.m. right here on 1150 a.m. Brian Abker, Brian Bacon, Matt Zarter, and Gary Hill bring unique, entertaining, and thoughtful perspectives on Northwest sports and beyond. Visit sportstangle.com for more information. That's SportsTangle, every Monday night from 8 to 9 p.m.
Music. The stuff of creation.
What a powerful tool for healing, inspiring, and connecting us to Source.
And to each other. We'll talk about it. We'll play it.
We'll have a lively discussion with guests who are doing it.
So join us Monday and Wednesdays at 7 p.m.
And Saturday mornings at 11.
Tune in to Living Music Radio on KKNW 1150 a.m. or livingmusicradio.com.
Following the herd is fine until they lead you off a cliff. Think for yourself. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey, y'all. Martha Norwalk. And I'll say thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. It is, and we are here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. It is the 1st of June, the first Sunday of the month, and that means Vet Sunday. And it's Dr. Al Pluckner, author of Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic, and the Human Compendium of Articles that goes along with it on the same subject. And he's back in the saddle again. Good morning, Dr. Al. Hello, Dr. Al. Oh, Sandy. Quit talking to Dr. Al. They're chatting away. There we go. Now I think we can bring him up. Good morning, Dr. Al.
Good morning. How are you, Martha?
Oh, I'm good. You and Sandy are just carrying on your own little show over there, huh?
What's that? I'm sorry.
Oh, I said, well, we tried to bring you up on the air, but you were still talking with Sandy.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah. So how you doing?
I am doing fine. I've got a... sometime this morning, I've got a call coming on, so I might have to put you on hold for just a second. And I hope it'll be during an advertisement thing, okay?
Well, let's hope that's the case.
Yeah,
yeah, it's only live radio, Al. I mean...
I know it.
Oh, man. So, for anybody that doesn't know, you have been for a number of years now retired over, and you're over in Idaho... wilderness, creating, improving the planet and creating kind of wildlife refuge situations. So before we get into kind of all the big new stuff going on in your life, tell us what's happening over in Idaho and with the wildlife and land and all that. I think the last time we talked, a couple months ago, you were buried in snow.
Yeah, it's been raining quite a bit. Once it stops, it's going to go to 100 degrees. It's going to be really, really warm.
Really?
We're not, the wildlife in the area, I think, has been pushed out, shot out. There's not as much as there were, actually, we saw last year.
Really?
We're still feeding and doing stuff, and we're seeing a lot of moose and quite a few deer, but not the population. The elk population supposedly is way down.
Really? Really?
Well, Fish and Game says the winter kill, but just because we had snow, the animals migrate down to the lower elevations anyway.
Now, is the snow completely gone from your...
Yes, it is. Where we are, we're only at 3,200 feet.
Okay. So it's completely gone now, but you're saying you're not seeing the wildlife that you're normally used to seeing.
No, we really are not. And it's hard to, you know what's cooking. I guess, if everybody's kind of just watching to see, if the wolves are involved, if wolves are not involved. I haven't seen anything, from a problematic standpoint as yet.
Well, I was going to ask you, because we've talked with you from time to time about the wild wolf situation over there, and you have enlightened us to let us know that, there legitimately have been some problems with the wolf population in that. I think the last time we talked about it, you related stories saying that, the population of wolves has grown so much that they were kind of indiscriminately killing or killing not just for food, but it was
for fun, yes.
Yeah, for fun, and that was becoming a problem. I'm wondering now, since other the big hoopla going on with the protection, I guess, suspended or whatever, and the okay to shoot the wolves now, has any of that been going on in your area that you know of?
Not that I'm aware of. They've talked about releasing permits and the whole thing, and I don't know if they have or they have not. So it's not a good thing, only because I think once they open it up, is a lot of the people do think they will go after the wolves, and there'll be a lot of them that are taken that should not be taken. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just it's such a catch-22. They put these poor animals in. Nobody asked the wolves to, come down here. The people wanted them down here, and they're not the native wolves they had years ago. And in an altered situation or environment like you and I talked about, the wolves have procreated and have become a problem in many, many areas. And then if they interfere, for example, with the rancher or the sheep herder making money because they're killing off their animals, they're definitely going to shoot them whether they got permits or not.
Yeah.
And once they open it up, where does it stop?
Right.
You make them extinct again or put them back on the endangered species list. It's really the whole thing is a shame and should have never happened this way, as you know.
Right.
We talked about, putting out pairs of neutered and spayed wolves to just introduce them to see in this altered environment what the wolves would have to do to survive. Where are they going to go? If the wildlife is gone, they're going to have to go after the domestics, including the dogs. And I've seen some of the dogs that have been torn apart by the wolves and not eaten or anything, but it's kind of sometimes the nature of the beast, and when there's an overpopulation and you get a pack mentality going, sometimes things happen that wouldn't have happened normally in nature.
Yeah.
So what do you do? You don't touch the wolves, or what it's come down to is you either leave them alone or you basically kill a bunch of them or kill them all. I don't know. It's not a good thing, Martha. It really is not.
Yeah, it's really sad that, hindsight now, could have gone about this in a different way. As you said, you had suggested maybe, putting out a pack of spayed and neutered wolves to monitor and see what was going to happen for a while before we put them everywhere.
Exactly.
So and that, I mentioned a story out of Scotland. In Good News About Animals, before we had you online, that they are reintroducing beavers into the lakes and streams of Scotland for the first time since 1587.
Interesting.
But my comment, what they're doing is they're gonna take one family from Norway of beavers, and they're gonna release them in one wildlife reserve.
Right.
And then they're going to monitor them over the next 5 years to determine their impact on the local environment and economy before they make any decision to reintroduce them everywhere.
Well, see, that's smart, though.
Yeah, see, that's much more in line of what I think you were talking, what we should have done, hindsight being 2020.
Sure, exactly.
And so when we're reintroducing, because you've reminded us that We're reintroducing, yes, animals that were here in the past, but the environment is totally different than when they were originally here.
Exactly. And it's not the assumption is it's still a pristine wilderness area, and it's not.
Yeah.
It's not. In a lot of the areas that were pristine, like the Bitterroot Selway, which is the biggest, I think, wilderness area in the country, from my understanding is all the animals are gone. The trees have not been able to be worked with, and the bark beetles have gotten a lot of the trees, and the noxious weeds have grown up underneath the trees, and the big trees shade out most of the sunlight, so the small trees underneath can't grow anyway, and you've got to manage these. I mean, we have really infiltrated the world, our environment, and we have really fouled up just about everything we have touched. And so it's got to have some. You got to have some. Well, like you say, a conservationist, you got to put back better than you take.
Yeah.
And it's pretty hard to improve on Mother Nature. And when you have to, it's usually because man did something stupid to really foul us up. You know.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, we are. Let's put us on hold here for the moment. Take care of our advertisers and sponsors once again this hour, and then when we continue, we'll talk to Al about what's going on in his professional life. Some exciting stuff. So stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend. And Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. And boy, do they have a lot of specials going on. Makes it worth the trip to Jones & Company. Let's see, they've got Eukanuba 46-pound bonus bags. You get 6 pounds free, and they're on sale for $10 less than a regular bag. Adult maintenance and large breed are just $31.99, and large breed puppies on sale for $35.99. They've also got a great deal going on with Earth Bath Shampoo. When you buy any of their shampoos, you get a free package of pet wipes. And the good news there is the pet wipes sell for $12. So you could, you know, buy some shampoo, you get $12 worth of free pet wipes. So worth the trip to Jones & Company. You'll find them on State Street in Marysville. Give them a call at 360-658-7817. That's 360-658-7817 at Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
Are you ready for the next revolution in pet nutrition? Jackson Hole biochemist Kevin Meehan developed Mulligan Stew's patented formula through scientific research into cellular nutrition. The end result is a cutting-edge pet food that is uniquely formulated with quality ingredients and proper manufacturing methods to help your pets live longer, healthier lives and provide effective cellular detoxification. Mulligan Stew is now available in select specialty pet stores. Go to mulliganstewpetfood.com and find out why Mulligan Stew Pet Food is the pet food with a purpose.
More choices, more topics, more shows. One station. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey, y'all, Martha Norwalk, and boy, we're on the downside of the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World, and you can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. It is Vet Sunday. Dr. Al Pluckner, author of Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic, is here. Dr. Al, are you still with me?
Hey. Hi there.
Oh, yeah, good. I was wondering, you getting that phone call yet? No.
No.
All right, so you're with us. Dr. Al, before we start talking about this, you've been working with this endocrine immune imbalance for, gosh, you know, the last 40-plus years. And I think last time you're here, last couple of times here, we were talking about some new developments because you had been pursued by a big medical group, and there was talk of you know, books and new kinds of treatment available and laboratories and that kind of stuff, but I understand that all of that did not pan out. Is that true?
Yeah, it really did not. And so I've gone on a different direction with books. I'm actually going to go back into practice.
That's the big news.
Yeah, mid-July I'll be down in Los Angeles with I'm pretty well set up today. I'm going to a convention in San Francisco at the end of the month, a 4-day convention, and picking up some continuing education credits, so on and so forth. And then it'll be, as I say, practice. You know, I've got two books, one for a dog, one for a cat, about finished now that's being edited.
Uh-huh.
And it'll be offered online, and then if we can find possibly a publisher, go ahead and publish the book.
Fabulous. So you've got two new books almost completed.
Yeah, they're about done now, and I just need to.
And these books relate to this endocrine immune imbalance, right?
Yeah.
But one specific to dogs and one specific to cats.
Yeah, and it includes people in the thing, too.
Wow. All right. And then so, how long has it been since you were actually practicing veterinary medicine?
It's probably been actively 5 years.
Oh, okay. And then you mentioned having to go to the continuing education, because that's what you have to do to keep your practicing license current, right?
What they do is they make it non-active. You have a non-active membership. And then to bring it into an active membership, you have to do each year a certain number of continuing education credits, whether you get them through online stuff, which I'm going to be doing, or conventions, or get credit for reading your journals and things. And I think probably publishing, too.
All right.
But I've been on the other end of the stick, you know, with writing and doing this stuff. And so the books are really, really, I think, they're a little more complex than most pet books, but what they're designed to do is the informed people like you have and you are, makes a lot of sense to them, and it's also something they can take to their veterinarians that the veterinarians can also look at and say, hey, this is really interesting stuff.
Yeah, so is it fair to say that, I mean, you retired from veterinary medicine,
out of frustration?
Well, yeah, because it was just too frustrating for you with your work not being recognized, but now it is starting to be recognized. And so that's motivated you to want to get back into practice and do more. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the interesting thing is where so many of the requests are coming from are from the pet owners. They say, you know, I have the same problem my pet had, and you seem to be able to help my pet. Can you help me?
Mm.
And so now we've got it set up that I do consulting. I've taken over my website.
Which is, by the way, folks, www.drplechner.com.
Right.
And so you've taken over the website, and now you can be contacted through your website for consultation?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's got all the information on it, the contact numbers, the hours, so on and so forth. And then on the publications, we will be having these new publications set up. And I think what I'm going to do is I've always had and this is something for you to think about, too. I've had a 41-page medical glossary for the pet owner that I've had on my website. And I thought I would probably go ahead and actually publish that. So that if they're interested in picking up some of the other books, we can include this free of charge. Just so when they read medical articles, they can look up certain words that will explain it to them.
Well, that's amazing. And then even though you're retired in Idaho, you're going back to Southern California to practice, because that's where you were practicing veterinary medicine for the 40 years that you were.
Yes, that was. Exactly.
So I was, after you told me, I hung up the phone the other day, and I'm thinking, well, gee, I wish you were coming to our area to practice.
I'd have to get a Oregon and or Washington license to do so. See,
so
they
it's
don't
easy
honor
for you to go back to California because you already have your license there.
Exactly.
All right, so we shouldn't feel too slighted then.
No, don't feel too slighted.
But I think you should work on your Washington license.
Yeah, I got to find out what the specs are so different in each state.
Ah, okay.
And some of them will recognize.
Well, but how great that you'll actually be able to see patients again.
Yeah, I think so. And the neat part about it is it's almost in the same area I was in, so that it's close to the airport, LAX, because I've had clients that flown in from Europe with their problems with their animals, and from South America, from all over Canada, and it gives them an opportunity to do a one-on-one if we can't find a healthcare professional that will work with me or I can work with. And
in
it's open
their area,
them.
Yeah. And of course, you know, this radio show is streamed all over the world, so
I know it is.
It's good. You'll be close to the airport, so we can fly down with our animal friends to see you if we need to, huh?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. And then you were talking about the books being available online and stuff. And you have started doing, I think the last time you were on, we were talking about a tele-seminar.
Yeah, I did a seminar, and I think we're going to do several more seminars that'll be basically, you know, I'm on my web advertised. I think on a Vet Locator web, so on the, what is it, Pets and I think Holistic Vets. That's the other one that Linda Ferguson is doing.
Yeah, you did this tele-seminar, and you really enjoyed that experience, I think, and it was successful, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It's like being on your program. I mean, it's so nice to be able to talk to people and answer questions. And there's so many of these questions, even on the blogs I've been looking at, that it's the same old stuff. They just don't have answers for idiopathic epilepsy, irritable bowel syndrome. They don't understand malabsorption. They don't understand why osteoporosis happens, so on and so forth. And so the beauty of it is I can do these questions. I can answer these questions. And it's kind of fun doing it like you have with call-ins, because it's like an office call, in that, you know, I'm really not there to perform for them to listen to me. What it is they can ask me questions. Hey, what about this? And so I can do and answer those questions that are important to the pet and the pet owner, as opposed to just, you know, talking and saying, well, you know, this is what I do and this is the mechanism. So we're going directly into like a huge office call, which is really, really nice for me, because it gives these people something they can really take home and help their animals.
Well, and I have to say that one of the reasons I brought up the subject is because you did this teleseminar.
You're going to be doing one, aren't you?
Yeah, it's Linda Ferguson, who does the Vet Locator and the one that organizes these. She's talked me into doing one. So I just wanted everybody to know I'm doing my first teleseminar this Thursday evening, June 5th. It'll be at 6 p.m. our time, that's Pacific Daylight Time, 9 p.m. Eastern, and I'm apparently a bonus feature within the seminar workshops that Charlene Boyd is doing. She's an animal communicator,
right,
teaching animal communication. And folks, if you're interested, you can sign up for Charlene's workshops. And it's kind of neat how these things work, because you can listen, you know, and participate in the teleseminar, you know, on your phone. And which, in the one I'm going to be doing Thursday, we'll be talking about animal behavior therapy and how I work and what's involved. And then I'll actually be answering specific behavior training and, you know, healing questions that participants have submitted previously. And then we'll be taking live questions and so forth. So it's going to be really neat. And so you can get my part of the seminar free if you sign up for the communication seminar, or you can just do mine. And if you're interested in that, I'll talk more about it current events, but just go to my website, MarthaNorwalk.com, click on current events, and you'll find a link to and phone number if you're interested in signing up. But I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to doing this.
Well, I think it's going to be very good for you. I know it's going to be very good for the people listening, because it's going to give you an opportunity to, again, as you've done already, answer questions that are really significant. And you've got the information and the knowledge that they really need to help the pet. So I think the exposure is going to be wonderful.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great fun. And there's a free bonus. Linda is making an e-book for me, and what we're going to do is I just completed a series of articles for the New Spirit Journal all about what cats need. So I know many of you don't get the New Spirit Journal, and so you haven't read the articles that I've written, but she's going to put them all together in a nice little e-book, and you're going to get this e-book for free if you join my teleseminar.
Oh, nice. That'll be neat.
That's neat. All right. We have talked ourselves through the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World and Vet Sunday. So, Dr. Al, you hold on. We're not going to take too long here. We're just going to turn this right around. We will come back and begin our discussion about the endocrine immune imbalance that Dr. Al has discovered and such, and we will open the phone lines. So from now until noon, phone lines are open for you if you've got questions for Dr. Al, and I hope you will stay with us. Animal World continues with Vet Sunday straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Listening to Martha Norwalk's Animal World right here on your alternative talk station, 1150 AM KKNW, Seattle.
I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, the show that lets you talk with your animal companion. We've moved from Tuesdays at 5 to our new time, Wednesdays at noon to 1 p.m. We talk about animal communication, how to communicate with and understand your animal kids better, life from the animal's point of view, and alternative ways of relating to those wonderful animal companions. I take your calls and talk directly with your animals about anything you'd like. Health, behavior, emotions, upcoming events in your lives, or just have fun conversations. I even talk with deceased animals and humans. This show is dedicated to taking your calls and talking with your animals. Twice a month, we feature guests who talk about their specialties and answer your questions. Animals have amazing and wonderful things to say. Be sure to join us for an informative, fun, interesting, educational, and definitely unique hour of radio listening at our new time every Wednesday at 12 noon for Joy Turner's Talk With Your Animals, the show both you and your pets are going to love.
Are you feeling overwhelmed? Do you want to change careers or maybe start your own business? Do you want someone to listen and support you in your journey? The Coach Lori Show is a call-in coaching forum, which gives you the opportunity to experience coaching firsthand. Listen for the life-changing strategies. Call in and be part of the show. This is your chance to call in and share your hopes and dreams. Listen to the Coach Lori Show at its new time, 8 p.m., every Sunday night on KKNW.
Do you find your life has more choices and less meaning? Has bigger, better, more left you feeling less connected and more stressed? Then tune into Conscious Talk, a radio that makes a difference. Conscious Talk will soothe your soul and brighten your day and take you out of the spin and hype and bring you back to center. That's Conscious Talk, a radio that makes a difference, right here on Seattle's Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Now wake up. Wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue, now I'm walking through fields of flowers, rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours, I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again. Singing a song when the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.